You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea. Everybody, it's another live football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and I want to say this to get it out the way. I have reset my computer. I have ensured that my internet service is good to go. So hopefully we will not have the hiccup. But if we do, since I'm the topic guy, we're going to be able to keep the show going if my computer has to reboot. And with that, I'll bring in Banker Bill, since he's the one that held down the fort for the better part of 10 minutes last week as my computer decided to take a dump because it didn't like the idea that Brock Bowers was going to be a better NFL tight end than Kyle Pitts. Bill, what's going on, bud?
What's up, man? It's a good time, though. It's a good time. But what's happening? It's football talk time.
It is football talk. Shout out to Volley Polly in the chat. If you're watching the show live, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, make sure you leave a comment that we can read on the air. Join the conversation because we always like the interaction. Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, Twitter @tapoutsandtds. And if you do decide to go to Twitter to watch it, make sure you give my page a follow over on X. I don't know if you can call it Twitter anymore. Bill, we are zooming through college football season, and I don't like it.
Yeah, because your team stinks.
Well, it's not that my team stinks.
Oh, listen, that too. Do you mean that too? I don't know.
We're going to throw it out there. It's rivalry week. The title of the show is rivalry week between Banker Bill and myself. We're going to the South Carolina game. We're going to get into it later on in the show. We're going to the South Carolina Florida game this weekend. I begged Bill to wear some Florida gear on the show.
You didn't beg me. You said, wear a Florida jersey. And I said, I don't own a Florida jersey. I just don't have one.
You got well, anyway, it would have been
a sweatshirt. It would just have been a blue sweatshirt that said Florida on it. I don't really have them. But and I told you when I showed up here on the camera and you're like, what? Come on, man. I was like, dude, I'm not ruining this mojo. Like, we're 4-1, we're rolling, and we play the worst team in football this week. I'm not ruining the Miami mojo. I'm not changing
that. That's fair.
I'll change it right now.
Well, shout out Matt Buck is also in the chat. He will be on the show with us a little later to do football picks as our guest picker. But let's get into it, Bill. We have gone – college football week 6 is come and gone, and some pretty big things happened over the weekend. Let's start off with the Red River rivalry. It was easy to say when it was called the shootout.
Such a good game.
One of the best games by these two teams, between these two teams in quite some time. Texas came into this game number 3 in the country. Oklahoma hadn't been challenged. We picked this game on the air last weekend. I was the only one that took Oklahoma, and Oklahoma takes this game 34-30. Bill, you've already said it was a great game. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Oklahoma, Texas, and is Oklahoma the real deal?
Yeah,
since they were able to knock off Texas.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel is pretty darn good. I mean, he was UCF's quarterback when he came into college. I think he started as a true freshman down there at UCF, and he was pretty good against Texas. I think I've looked at some of the statistics, and he's like a top 10, maybe top 7 quarterback in college football. So, yeah, I think Oklahoma's probably legit right now, especially if you're going to play. I mean, it was a neutral site game, but it was at the Cotton Bowl, which is in, you know, Texas. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to knock off the number 3 team in the country who has already knocked off Alabama, who's another pretty good team, we think. I think Oklahoma's legit, man. And that's weird because they weren't last year, and – a lot of people around here don't love their coach because he left, you know, a certain school that's pretty close to here.
I mean, but, in fairness, I think Clemson fans will acknowledge the fact that the defensive game against West Virginia in the Orange Bowl that still gets talked about amongst South Carolina fans to this day is the old West Virginia just scored again. A team out of the Big East blew out Clemson in a bowl game that forced Dabo Sweeney to go and sign Brent Venables, who is now the head coach of Oklahoma, signed from Oklahoma to go to Clemson and really, really made a name for himself. Some people sort of weren't expecting him to turn this team the way that he has, considering that they lost Caleb Williams, they lost Lincoln Riley, they lost a lot of guys with the departure of Lincoln Riley, and Venables has sort of, you know, he's looked shaky earlier in the season, but this win against Texas proves that they're willing and ready to play with the big boys. We talk about Texas being the number three team in the country going into last week. They fall only to number nine as Oklahoma drops. I believe they were number 11 going into last
number
week.
12.
Number 12.
Number 12, yeah.
So they were number 12 going in last week, jump all the way to number five. They are on the outside looking in of the Final Four regarding the college football playoff, and there's a lot of football left to play in college this season. Let's go to another really, really good team in Southern Cal. Southern Cal, predicted by many to be in the college football playoff, currently ranked number 10 in the country. I guess they fell a little bit because of their 7-point win against Colorado. They go to Arizona, and Arizona takes them to three overtimes. Southern Cal almost collapsed at the end. I should mention this game with the overtimes went well into the wee evening of here over in the East Coast. The game wasn't over with until almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Bill, did you watch this game?
I did not. Southern Cal almost
tried to.
I watched highlights of this game. You know, we've talked about USC on the real USC on this show. I know you love that. I know they're not the original, but yeah, we've talked about Southern Cal on this show, and we talked about how their defense is bad. We think their defense, but Caleb Williams kind of carries them the wins. I think that we'd be in agreement on that. But Arizona's actually not that bad, man. If you look at their schedule. They lost to Mississippi State at Mississippi State in overtime. Not that they're that great of a team. But they also lost to Washington by 7. And Washington's pretty good. And that was you know, they have a really good – Washington has an amazing offense. They only scored 31 points against Arizona. And then they lose to USC in overtime. So they've gotten – their two of three losses are in overtime games. And the third one is to a top 10 team. So – I mean, Arizona's not that bad of a team. I think this was a test for the USC Trojans, but I still think they have issues with defense, man. I worry about that defense. It wasn't good last year, and I don't feel like they fixed it this year.
Well, Volley Polly poses the question, and we'll get to later in the show. Does SoCal have a letdown game against Notre Dame later this weekend? We're going to pick that game in podcast pick'ems here at the end of the show, so we'll get to talk about that. But it does beg the question, does Southern Cal have enough left in the tank to knock off a Notre Dame team, who we'll get to here in a second. Let's go all the way out east now. We sort of started Midwest, gone out west. Now let's come back east. I was the only person on the show last week to think that Kentucky was going to be able to keep it close with Georgia. They didn't. 51-13, the Georgia Bulldogs took care of business over the one of the only other two teams in the SEC East that remain undefeated. Bill, I guess we have to say that this makes Georgia officially the number one team in the country.
They were last week. You guys didn't agree with me. I said they were the number one team in the country until somebody beats them. Then they're the number one team in the country. Yeah. And now they really stomp somebody. And the bad news is Carson Beck's starting to figure out how to play football. That's not good news for the rest of America. That team is loaded with 5 stars and 4 stars, and what they didn't need is good quarterback play, and here he comes.
Yeah, Tim wanted to call out they are going to South Bend or Southern Cal, Tim Costello. I'm excited.
That's my work buddy. That's my buddy Timmy.
Yeah. I'm with you, Bill. I think Georgia's the number one team in the country at this point until somebody can prove them wrong. We mentioned Notre Dame. Before we go to Notre Dame, Matt Buck coming in the chat. Braves are getting stomped as we speak. Yeah, it's been a bad game three for the Atlanta Braves. We're not going to talk about that. So let's go back to Notre Dame talk. Preseason, I had them picked in my Final Four. I think it's safe to say that that's not going to happen. They were dominated by the Louisville Cardinals. Louisville, however, a quiet 6-0 record on the season out of the ACC. Bill, what does the result of this game tell you about these two schools? Does Notre Dame just not have it, or is Louisville just that good?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that Louisville was actually able to beat this Notre Dame team. I think we all kind of expected a lot of firepower out of Notre Dame with Sam Hartman as their quarterback. We thought that was going to be an upgrade for this team. Obviously, they've been good every year. And I think everybody kind of expected, ooh, with a good quarterback, this guy coming out of Wake Forest, he was fantastic there. These guys are going to be really good. And that hasn't happened yet. And I think you said it. They're done. Like, I think with a two-loss team and a loss to Louisville.
And no shot at a conference championship.
Exactly. The first one was Ohio State. Yeah, no shot at a conference championship. Yes. First one was Ohio State. So, okay, you lose to Ohio State. They're still a perennial powerhouse. You don't have much of an issue if you lose that team early in the season. But now you got a second loss to Louisville. So I think probably we're looking at Notre Dame just fighting for a good season, maybe an Orange Bowl berth for Notre Dame this year. I think that's usually where they – well, who knows? I don't know. They seem to play in the Orange Bowl a lot.
It's changed now with the new college football playoff. Yeah. I don't know what bowl game gets what teams now.
Yeah, I don't know where the semis are. So, yeah, I think they're playing for a BCS bowl at this point. That's old school right there.
Now you're going way back.
That's it. I think that's it. They don't have any shot at the national championship at this point.
Real quick, Andy Hunter in the chat. What's up, Andy?
What's up, Andy?
Our friend from out west. And then Glenjamin – Amberson coming in. Brian Brohm is going to make Louisville a problem. Look at those Purdue teams he had that would pull some upsets. So,
yeah.
A very good point. I mean, yeah, Louisville might be out here to shock some people.
Solid analysis there.
Well, I'll tell you who shocked some people this week, and I don't know if it's more so Georgia Tech and more so Miami. Miami, if you haven't...
We had to decide if we wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, we did. We legitimately we discussed whether or not we're going to talk about this or not. Miami, all they had to do was take a knee, and they get the win. Instead, they run the ball. They cough it up. Georgia Tech takes over and scores a touchdown.
You didn't even bring in the most important detail.
Please do.
The most important detail was they didn't have to run the ball. They could have just kneeled out the clock.
Yeah, there were no
timeouts left on the board. There was less time left on the game clock than there was on the play clock. They just needed to kneel down, and the game is over, and they stay undefeated. They stay undefeated. They took their first loss. It's ridiculous. Georgia you know what Tech's... I heard it was? You know what I heard it was? I heard what? The running back needed like one more yard for 100. I heard that. I don't know if that's true.
Can you imagine if that's what it was?
And he asked to get that one more yard, and he fought for more and didn't hang on to the ball. Did you hear the coach blamed it on the running back?
He blamed it the coach? Of Miami, blamed on the running back.
Yep. Said he wasn't carrying the ball with two hands.
Wow. Yeah, Georgia Tech gets the 23-20 win. Like I said, touchdown with 1 second left. I mean.
Then to give it up. The way they gave it up, too, that just left the dude open, like running down the field, like, oh, that we forgot to cover that guy. And you can see the safety just like, what happened here?
Yep.
It's coach's fault. Mario Cristobal, what happened there, buddy?
Glenjamin comes back in. Literally, they could have just fell over, punted the ball, threw the ball out of the stadium. Like, whatever they had to do.
Didn't matter.
Just game don't over. Lose the ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
When I read about it, I had to go find the highlights. When I read about it, I was like, no. It couldn't have been that bad. And yeah, sure enough.
Is that a fireable offense?
I don't think fireable, but I think there's repercussions for this. One, he looks ridiculously stupid. I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible look, right? And that's going to hurt things like recruiting. Like, you just look foolish. And then he comes out and blames the player. Instead of saying, I should have just kneeled we should have knelt the ball, knelt out the clock. That was a dumb move on my part. You know, I was trying to give my players reps. He blamed the player. I think that looks bad on all sides. Now, he made it worse. And now if I'm a player, I've never been a player being recruited by colleges. But I think if I look at Miami and I go, no, this dude blames his failures on other people. Like, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, accept responsibility. You're the coach. You can tell the player, you know, no, you're going to take a seat. We're going to take the win, and you can worry about your 100 yards next week. Tim coming in saying it was a Marshall moment. Listen, I wasn't a fan about how Mario Cristobal came into Miami. And now it's an even worse look at what they're going on, what they've got going on now. Aaron Thompson, I think he might have just walked in my house, actually, saying that the Braves suck. That's the second Braves comment on the show tonight.
That's fun.
Yeah. Last thing we're going to talk about college football, then we're going to move into the NFL. 11 teams remain undefeated after week six. You've got, again, we talked about number one, Georgia. We got number two, Michigan, three, Ohio State, four, Florida State, and Oklahoma jumped up to five. You look at some of the other teams, Penn State, Washington, Oregon, Southern Cal, North Carolina still undefeated, and Louisville. Makes that Miami loss look a lot worse.
Oh yeah,
we would have had a 12 team undefeated.
Yeah,
of these teams, we talked preseason about who our favorites to make the playoff are. Of these teams, who do you see that might be able to sneak their way up if they can remain undefeated? And who do you think is going to collapse and find their way on the outside looking in?
I think the easiest one right now is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one that everybody's going, oh, wait a minute, hang on a second now, because they just took down Texas, where Texas we had as kind of a shoe-in. I mean, you guys going to be your Big 12 title guy, right? So now you're looking at Oklahoma. And I think the one that I see falling out is Florida State. They don't make me comfortable. Right? I'm not a Florida State fan. I know Pedro's not here yet, so he's not going to get upset with us. But I'm not a Florida State fan, but they look the shakiest to me in their wins. Yeah. They make me nervous. Our other team, like North Carolina, do you really think they're going to run the table? I don't know. But I mean, they've got a great quarterback. You know, that makes a difference.
Volley Polly asks, which one of those teams are on upset alert this week? That's a good question. I'd have to go look through the schedule, but I think obviously Washington plays Oregon.
USC?
USC is on upset alert. Washington, Oregon, one of those teams will not be defeated as they play each other. I'm really excited to watch that game.
Well, we're not going to be able to, Ryan.
Listen, we got a TV at the tailgate, bud. Don't worry. We got you. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's at the same time that we're going to be in there. I think is it a late game? I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, well, we can check it out.
Continue.
A lot of fun college football left to be played, but
same time.
Of course it is. So yeah, we won't be able to watch it.
Score updates.
Nevertheless, college football, again, much more to play. Let's go into the NFL post week. We're in NFL week five.
Going to week six.
Going to week six. That's kind of what I thought. So NFL week five came and gone, and boy, did we get some shockers out of the NFL this week. Let's start off on Thursday Night Football. The Commanders got obliterated by quite possibly what I thought going into the weekend, one of the worst teams in the NFL, 40-20 on Thursday Night Football. DJ Moore, we'll get into him in a second, a career day. But Justin Fields looked competent in this game. Real quick, before I go on, if you're watching this Facebook or YouTube, leave a comment wherever you're watching it. Give us a like and a follow wherever you're watching it, and we'll read your comment on the air. But let's get back to Bears Commanders. Bill, is this more of a maybe Bears figured it out type deal, or are the Commanders just that bad, and maybe Ron Rivera is on the hot seat at this point?
Yes. Yes.
Solid yes.
I watched this game and I thought, what the heck just happened? The Bears looked like they were going to win the Super Bowl, especially DJ Moore. He might have won it by himself. And the Washington just was awful. They had no offense. Their defense couldn't stop. I mean, DJ Moore put, I think, 50 fantasy points. Scored 50 fantasy by himself. Like, what are you doing? That's ridiculous.
5-0.
Yeah. Spot. Just insane. I don't know. They look terrible. I thought Washington was actually kind of turning the corner a little bit. They were going to be the team that possibly, you know, put up a little bit of a challenge to Philadelphia as they, you know, they played them already this year, right? And that was a close game. So I thought that was, I don't know. It was shocking to me. Are the Bears any better than I thought that they were like the first 3 weeks? Sure. Of course, you know, Justin Fields isn't as awful as he was the first 3 weeks. He was really bad. And just keep throwing DJ Moore. It's a good idea. It seems to work pretty well. He's really a lot faster than I thought he was, too. Guy can run.
Yeah, he's got some burner speed. We'll talk about him in a second. Let's go to the other shocking game over the weekend, the London game that I forgot was playing in London. The Buffalo Bills lose in London to the soon-to-be London Jaguars. I'm sure they'll change the team name whenever they move to London. What happened after Buffalo beat down your Dolphins? What happened?
Oh, hey, nobody can remember that happened now. Well, come on.
Well, I mean, they could, you know, not remember it.
I like
before,
it.
Before you get into it, a couple of comments here.
Yeah.
How many folks were mad that they didn't start DJ Moore? I was not
one of them. Didn't you buy that one? Wasn't that a buy?
That was a buy. If you listen to the show, that's why you got to listen to the show. DJ Moore was on my buy list. Yep. And had you listened to me, you would have started them like I did. And that 50 points wouldn't be sitting on your bench. And then Tim's calling jet lag for the Bills.
I don't think too far off.
I've got to chime in from Aaron in the other room. Legitimately 3,000 channels on his TV, and he's just trying to not watch the Ravens anymore. So maybe I'll show him on the commercial break that he's featured in. Bill, let's go back to Buffalo and Jacksonville and London. What happened to the Bills? I mean, was it jet lag? Was it a hangover from the game that they had the week before? Like, what happened to Buffalo?
And Jacksonville's not that bad. They're a pretty decent team. and they had been there all week. You know, they had two consecutive games. Well, love, you got to love NFL scheduling. That makes no sense. Poor guys. They live in London. Well, actually, it doesn't sound all that bad. Hey, Ryan, maybe we should just do the podcast from London for a couple weeks. But
if somebody wants to sponsor the show, sponsor for us to go do it in London, I'm there for it, dude. I'm so there.
But yeah, that doesn't sound all that bad. But yeah, I think that's possible that they probably, I mean, I did hear something about that or read something about that jet lag is an issue for those players that go to London and have to play a game at what would be 9:30 in the morning, their normal Eastern time.
Maybe that's why Jacksonville played two straight games in London.
That's what it did. That's what they stayed there for. They could get used to they said that they were going to get used to the time zone. And that seemed that they won the first game, obviously, there. And then they won the second game there and beat a really good Buffalo team. So they looked flat. I mean, they were flat. They scored 7 points until about 7 minutes left in the game. And then everything went crazy, but they still couldn't stop Etienne. That might be because their linebacker's out for the season, which is unfortunate for their best linebacker's out for the season. But yeah, they just didn't look good. Wasn't a good game for Buffalo. That's what Josh Allen's going to give you. I've been saying it.
More power to
perfect,
the Jags.
Perfect passer rating against the Dolphins. Perfect.
Yeah. Garbage. And then lays an egg against the Jacksonville Jags.
Absolutely.
The following week. Those are your shocking games of the NFL. I don't know if you'd call these shockers, but definitely some crazy games from a fantasy football perspective. DJ Moore and Ja'Marr Chase both had career days. Not just for fantasy football, but for themselves. DJ Moore, you talked about 50 fantasy points, 8 catches for 230 yards, career high in yardage with 3 touchdowns. I believe that was a career high as well. Ja'Marr Chase, we were asking 2 weeks ago on the show, were the Bengals done? It might have been last week. We're asking if the Bengals are done. All of a sudden, Ja'Marr Chase has woken up. 15 catches. I believe that's the Bengals franchise record. 192 yards and 3 touchdowns of his own. I started him in a different league. So I had 2 receivers that went off in fantasy football. What do you make of these performances? Obviously, they're not going to be able to keep up this production every week. But what do you make from these guys who seemed to not be able to put it together early in the season, and all of a sudden, now they're showing why people drafted them so earlier in their fantasy drafts?
Ja'Marr Chase is who we thought he was. Yeah. That Dennis Green moment. They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd bang my table, but it'd be way too loud. Yeah,
I know. Same here. Like everything would fall over and it'd be bad. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's who this guy is. He's 7-11. You heard him say that, right? He's always open. Yeah. I mean, 15 catches is insane, but it's not, you know, it's not a record, but it's a record for Cincinnati. And exactly, that's Timmy's quarterback, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's finally figuring out how to, like, look, man, we knew Joe Burrow was good. I said it. He's going to figure it out. It's going to happen. And we were waiting 2 weeks ago. I said, Ja'Marr Chase has to give him a show me game. And he did. And I played him this week, and yes, I set the record again in the league, the all-time record for points scored in that league. Second time this year I've set the record, and mainly it was because Ja'Marr Chase absolutely went off. I mean, this is who this guy is.
Tim almost dropped Joe Burrow.
He's going to figure it out.
I'm glad this next thing got mentioned in the chat here. Glenn Jimin coming back, started Achan, Tua, and Tyreek Hill in fantasy. The first time that he's ever had confidence in 3 Dolphins in 1 lineup. Listen, I started Achan in all 3 leagues. And we were super excited about the prospect for Devin Achan going forward. And then we get the unfortunate news. Not only did Devin Achan suffer a knee injury in that game that didn't seem so severe until after the game was over, we also saw another star rookie that seemed to be on the pace to break out to our detriment in Anthony Richardson with an AC joint sprain. And then Justin Jefferson is headed to the IR with a hamstring injury. I feel like more star skill players in the NFL have gone down before week 6 than I've ever remember seeing in the past. Bill, what are your thoughts? Let's start with Anthony Richardson. I know that you love the stash, as do I, and Gardner Minshew. What does his injury mean to a returning Jonathan Taylor to this lineup?
I think this team gets more run-centric. But not run set centric with Anthony Richardson. But here's the weird thing about that team, and I don't know if I want to talk about Anthony Richardson more than I want to talk about Zach Moss. Like, what the heck is going on up there in Indianapolis?
What is
in the water that hey, you're a running back now. You want to play for Indianapolis? Sure, I'll go for 9 yards. I mean, insane what Zach Moss did this weekend. Then they pay Taylor more money than any running back in the history of the NFL, and it doesn't look like they needed to. So that's weird. But, I mean, Minshew, he came in that game. Did you see what his stats were?
I didn't. Real quick, before you give me the stats, Tim Costello asking if it was confirmed. Yes, all 3 of these injuries.
Just 4 to 8 weeks.
multiple week injuries.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead with the stats. Richardson. For Gardner
Minshew. No, stats. I think he was 11 for 13 for 155.
I mean,
that was Minshew's stats.
Don't turn the ball over. Manage the game.
What do you mean, don't turn the ball over? 11 for 13 for 155? You double that? That's a fantastic game.
Yeah, of course. I'm right.
I mean,
he played
fantastically there. I mean, they're going to be a decent team. They're 3-2 right now. Come on. Did anybody expect that from Indianapolis? I think they've won more games so far this season in five games than we expected them to win all year. I'm pretty sure I had them at 2-15.
Yeah, we did. Aaron coming in. We need to start a who should I start section of the show. We'll get back to this in bullies, buys, and sells. Start three PPR, and he's got some names here. We'll get to that in a second. And then Uncle G Money in the house.
Gary.
All right, we got another question here. Tim Costello wants to know how we feel about the Jonathan Taylor contract. I mean, I think Bill's kind of already made it clear that it didn't look like they needed to pay him all that money if Zach Moss can go off for 157 yards. Am I right?
I mean, clearly. I think clearly. I mean, Zach Moss has been holding it down, and it wasn't just one game. He's had a pretty darn good season up until this point, and then that was his coup de grace. Like, here you go. I could be the guy. And Jonathan Taylor was on the bench. He's there. They only gave him three carries.
He played in this game, so you know, kudos to Zach Moss. Real quick,
let's see. What do you do? What do you do now? Like, well, Zach Moss is averaging 6 yards a carry right now. Do you play Jonathan Taylor and say, Zach, I know you put your best effort forward and you carried the team for 5 weeks, but here's our superstar. No, come on. What do you do now? It's weird, man. It's a weird situation. I would have.
We got another sit or start from Matt Buck in the chat. We'll get to when we get to buys and sells. Let's move on here. Devin Achane, your Miami Dolphins star rookie running back.
Why you gotta do this to me?
Because we gotta talk about it, because it disappoints me too. Devin Achane went in and out of the game. They didn't think anything was seriously wrong. After the game was over, they could see something was wrong. He played with it. He played with it and put up 28 fantasy points. Played with it, came out, had a second evaluation. They have not, as of what I'm telling, he's a candidate for the IR. He has not gone to the injured reserve, but he's a candidate because he is going to miss time. Now, Jeff Wilson is set to return from IR, and Raheem Mostert has the speed that Devin Achane has.
I don't know about that. Mostert's fast. Mostert still says he's the fastest of the group.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mostert's got the speed. The Dolphins, I mean, I don't know how to pose this question to you because you're a Dolphins fan. Dolphins are going to be fine without Achane, even though Achane's showed to be a stud, correct?
Yeah, I think they're going to absolutely be fine. Mostert's a similar, I don't say the same player because Achane seems, I don't know, maybe they block better when he's running because it just seems like there are giant wide holes and he just sprints through them and then runs for a lot of yards. He's super fast. Mostert's super fast. Jeff Wilson is a thumper. It's going to be a little bit of a different team, but I'm not worried about it. I mean, they're averaging insane amounts of yards at this point. So yeah,
Gary wants to know.
It's supposed to be a passing team.
Yeah, well, he wants to know if we talked about the speed of the Dolphins versus the Giants. We haven't, but I mean, it's clear the Dolphins are the fastest team in the NFL.
Shocking to watch some of the players turn. What did somebody call it? I saw a breakdown on it. I don't remember which, but they were calling it hamstring poppers. The speed of the Dolphins pops hamstrings is what they were saying. Xavier McKinney, and they showed multiple times where McKinney had to turn around and just sprint. And they're like, that poor guy, he's lucky to have walked off the field. There was two plays in a row that it was the Achane touchdown where he had to run, like, I think they calculated it like 80 some yards. And then the very next play that they were on the field, he had to run like another 70 yards. So they're like, this dude had to run 150 yards in two plays. They're just like, that guy was lucky to be alive. I think poor guy.
Glenn Jiming back in the chat. Miami will be fine, but of course we'll be happy when Achane is back. I'm right there with you. We got one more. Tim Costello, this is going to start the downfall. I think that's just wishful thinking.
Are we talking about the Giants? I think that's already begun.
Yeah, and then Aaron's coming back, hot take. He thinks Jeff Wilson comes back and tears it up. So it becomes a three running back committee when Achane comes back. He's thinking to sell high on Mostert now. I don't see that happening. I think Mostert's going to be.
You forget, Ahmed was a pretty serviceable running back the first couple of weeks of the season. He wasn't doing terrible.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the speed, but he's broke a couple of, you know, runs for this team as well.
Yeah, Glenjamin posted in the chat the other running backs that the Dolphins have. I think the Dolphins are going to be fine. Now, the team that I don't think is going to be fine are the Minnesota Vikings. I know we're well into this talk right here, but Justin Jefferson with a hamstring injury going to the IR.
I like their other wide receivers. They've been targeting Addison a little bit more. He's been kind of nice, rookie kid. KJ Osborne's not terrible.
Yeah, no, but it's not Jefferson. But it's not Justin Jefferson.
No, no.
And they haven't been able to get the running back on the running game going. Not at all. With Cam, trade making the trade for Cam Akers, you still haven't heard his name. I still think the biggest mistake they did was not bringing back Dalvin Cook.
Oh, wow. Why? Because he's lighting the world on fire in New York?
No, but I think he'd be doing better in Minnesota in an offense that he understood with a team that he knew than with he went to the New York for Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers ain't there. And then we see what Breece Hall does when they finally take the handcuff off Breece Hall, and he goes nuts.
Until he gets hurt. That's going to happen. Poor guy. Hopefully he stays healthy, Breece Hall.
Yeah, Gary mentioned that Susan brought it up. The Giants are so much slower. Listen, Gary, everybody is going to be slower than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
That's not fair. It's a track meet with guys that look like me and, Olympic runners. We got a question from Tim. Do you think it's Kirk's last year? I don't know if he makes it to the end of the season, to be completely honest. I don't think he's a terrible quarterback.
Kirk Cousins?
But Kirk Cousins.
And Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
Kirk Cousins got that Tony Romo disease where he kind of fails in the playoffs. To be fair. Yeah. He did not fail them in the playoffs last year. They scored points against the Giants. The Giants just outscored them.
Here's the problem with Kirk Cousins, all right? We talked about this on the Cat Cave with my guy Shannon Smith this week. Kirk Cousins is the modern-day Rex Grossman or the modern-day Philip Rivers or the modern-day Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'll give you Rivers.
He's a really good quarterback, and he can make some decent plays, but when it comes clutch time, when he has to win, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
He's the
older Justin Herbert.
Listen, Minnesota already tried a reboot on the defense, and now the defense is non-existent. They're going to be in rebuild mode sooner rather than later, and Justin Jefferson's contract is going to be due for extension very soon, and you wonder if he wants to be part of a rebuilding project or if he's going to want to out of Minnesota. So, nevertheless, a couple more comments before we move on. Matt Buck is not selling Raheem Mostert.
Nope.
And Aaron thinks he doesn't. You know, he needs to sell him while he's got value. And the Vikings just worked out Colt McCoy. There's a chance that I'm with Aaron on that. That's what I just said. I don't know if he makes it the rest of the season. They might trade Cousins. Maybe Cousins goes to the New York Jets for a season because they need a quarterback. Nevertheless,
pick a different team.
They also tried out Jordan Ta'amu from the XFL, one of our favorite XFL. Some options here in Minnesota. But Justin Jefferson, a big blow to that offense. Now, let's go because we got to get the buys and sells and pick'ems later in the show. So let's talk real quick. The Panthers are 0-5. The Broncos are getting blown out by everybody. The Bears, until they blew out Washington, looked terrible. Bill, who's the worst team in the NFL after week 5?
Carolina Panthers, without question. Yeah. It's not a question. So Denver's won a game.
Listen, the Panthers, I keep looking at their schedule. I don't know when the first win is going to come. And the
Talk
problem
about
is
this week.
They played well on offense last week. They had some good stuff happen. They still can't run the ball. Listen, Miles Sanders needs to be traded immediately. Miles Sanders was a mistake by the
– Nobody's going to give anything for him.
Well, get something, because Miles Sanders was one of the biggest mistakes the Panthers made in the offseason.
Cost too much.
Maybe they absorbed some of the cap.
Won't be able to get rid of him.
Nevertheless, he's not a good runner. Chuba Hubbard has been more effective for the Panthers. Adam Thielen has seen a resurgence because he is the only person that can run routes and catch passes in Carolina, apparently. But Bryce Young, outside of two interceptions last week, including one that was a screen pass that was picked off by a defensive end, a stud defensive end in Aiden Hutchinson. His second interception was a bad one.
I like how you added a stud defensive end.
He's a man amongst boys. He's no Max Crosby. You stop it. I think they're getting a little bit better in Carolina. I still think they're the worst team in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
But they are getting better. You wonder if this team goes 0-17. If they blow it up, because that means the Bears are going to have the number one overall pick. And all that trade for last year went for nothing. Let's read a couple more comments here. Matt Buck says Kaepernick to the Jets. That's hilarious. He won't even go play for the XFL. Why would he go play for the Jets? Michelle Russell in the chat. What's up, Michelle? Aaron, he agreed the game should have been 42-17. They had a garbage time touchdown. I'm with him there. So yeah, some fun conversation to be had about the worst team in the NFL. Now let's move on to the top five teams in the NFL, which is crazy, Bill.
Because we did this separate. We did this separate.
We did this completely separately. My Bully Rise top five goes in this order: 49ers, Eagles, Dolphins, Lions, and Chiefs. I put the Lions ahead of the Chiefs because the Lions beat the Chiefs in week one. I don't care that they were missing two of their best players. The Lions still won. And for all intents and purposes, they sort of gave that game away in week two to the Seahawks in overtime. So I still think the Lions are the fourth best team in the NFL. If you're looking at the screen, Baker Bill's top five are 49ers, Eagles, Dolphins, but he flipped the Chiefs and Lions. Why you got the Chiefs ahead of the Lions?
Because they're better.
Because they're better.
They're better. They're better. That first game, the first game of the season, the Lions did a fantastic job, but they're not the same team. You know, week three, we thought the Dolphins were the best team in the league, but no.
Well, Aaron said we need to put the Bills in the top five, not after they lost to the Jacksonville.
3-2? Come on. Yeah.
Not to mention, listen.
They lost to the Jets and the Jaguars. Like, really want to put them in the top five?
I'm going to throw it out there before we get to our first break. Name one receiver for the Chiefs that's better on the Chiefs than Amon-Ra St. Brown is for the Lions.
Why am I doing this?
Because I'm telling you, the Chiefs, until they get a receiver Tyreek Hill, if Travis Kelce goes down, they struggle.
He was pretty much injured the last game, like half the game.
He's not human, but he didn't play week one and they lost because the offense runs through Travis Kelce. Now they're getting Isaiah Pacheco involved. The offense runs through Travis Kelce. If Kelsey's not on the field, they struggle offensively. They haven't looked like the world beaters they normally do.
They had some really nice throws to the backup tight end this past week. I don't even know who the backup tight end. He had some really nice catches. I'm just saying. I don't think they struggle as bad as you think they do. I think they're a pretty darn good. They scare the crap out of me. Patrick Mahomes scares the crap out of me. It's just like Tom Brady. Tom Brady never had a decent receiver other than Randy Moss, ever. Don't be on that team.
The Chiefs struggled against the Vikings, and the Vikings are bad. Another fair point. Another fair point to me as far as the Chiefs go. I think they only won by seven. Bill, we've had a lot of really fun conversation about football from week five of the NFL, week six of college football. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Bullies, Buys, and Sells, and we're going to get to some of those starter sit questions that we got in the chat. If you've got any more, again, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're watching, put them in the chat. We'll talk about them live on the air when we come back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend Aaron Thompson at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap Outs and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Ash wanted to make an appearance on the show this week.
Terrifying.
Hey, Bill.
Yep. The Stash wanted to make an appearance on the show since he's actually not making picks.
Caterpillars
this week.
Loose in your house, Ryan. That's bad.
I know. I got a loose caterpillar somewhere in the house. I gotta hire an exterminator here.
Yeah.
Bullies, buys, and sells. Bill's fact or crap. Real quick, let's check the chat real quick. Tom Brady still won Super. We're talking. I don't know. We're talking here, but Tom Brady still won Super Bowls. I'm not sure where that came from, Matt. There might be some. Some context there. And then Jason Ellis said that Aaron is one good-looking dude. Jason Ellis, Jason Buck here in the chat. All right, Bullies, Buys, and Sells, Bills, Facts, or Craps. Last week, phenomenal turnaround after my 1-7 week four. 6-2 last week. I missed the quarterbacks. I got everybody else right, including DJ Moore. So if you listened to the show last week, you did well. But Bill did one better than me. He went 7-1. He crapped out on George Kittle, who had 3 touchdowns. And ruined a lot of people's fantasy weeks.
Almost ruined my fantasy week.
For the season, I believe you are still a game ahead of me at 17-15. While I said it,
makes it easy. 16 makes it easy. You pick the players, and I tell you how terrible you are at picking players.
Regardless, we had a really good week last week. So if you're paying attention last week, hopefully you're going to pay attention this week because we're going to give you some players that we think are going to help you win your fantasy games. And let's start off here at quarterback because I sold this guy last week because he was playing a supposedly really good defense, and I'm buying him this week for to sort of regain the mojo. And I'm buying in Jared Goff. He's only projected 16.2 fantasy points. Let me get out my notes here. Last week, 33 fantasy points against the Panthers, and the Panthers are currently giving up the 10th fewest points to quarterbacks even after last week, all of which was without star wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I mentioned in the previous segment, and rookie sensation Jahmyr Gibbs. Currently, their week six opponent, Tampa Bay, ranks 8th against quarterbacks in fantasy, but Detroit is likely to get Amon-Ra back this week. I think it's a monster win for the Lions. I think the Bucs are a fraud. I think Baker Mayfield is garbage. And Jared Goff is going to light up this Bucs defense. Bill,
things we're back. Saying from week to week, you're all over the place. Let me remind you that when you gave was it a buy on this? Or no, you were selling on Goff last week.
Sold on Goff last week.
And I was buying. Wasn't that the case? I think I was. And I was very much right. But I'm also buying Jared Goff this week. I think this man is on fire. So I think you stick with him. If you have him, start him. Keep starting him. Guy's a good player.
All right, let's go to running back here in the NFL. I mentioned him in the last segment with Devin Achane out. I'm all in buying Raheem Mostert this week.
This is low-hanging fruit, Ryan.
Low-hanging fruit, but
low-hanging fruit, Ryan.
I'm all getting that low-hanging fruit.
Can we also remind people what team they're playing and why you would pick this guy?
I can feel it. Down in my plums. In my
plums.
Going down to the farmer's market. That's a eastbound and down reference. Light blue hue. Listen, Devin Achane set to miss some time, propelling Mostert back into the solidified lead role here for the Miami Dolphins. The week 6 opponent, the Carolina Panthers, are currently giving up the second most points to running backs after allowing 109 yards and 23 fantasy points to David Montgomery in week 5. Mostert is going to blow up this week. Bill, what say you? Fact or crap? Mostert exceeds 16.8 points.
These guys can't stop the run, Ryan. Yep. So Mostert goes off. Achane's going to help it, right? The fact that he's not there, that's going to help. Jeff Wilson practiced today. They don't necessarily know if he's going to play. He hasn't been around. Is he in shape? We don't know. Mostert, I think, goes off this week. He's going to have a fun week. I think if you're a Mostert fan, which I am, it's going to be a good week for you.
Yeah, really devastating for my Devin Achane.
He'll be back. Don't worry. He's getting mandatory rest. Just think of it that way.
By that point, I'm hoping I'm still in the playoff races. I did go 3-0 for the second straight week.
You'll be all right.
This past weekend. Let's go to wide receiver. You talking about low-hanging fruit. I almost took DJ Moore for a second straight
this
week.
This one's awful.
Well, I'm telling you, it could have been worse. Because I almost picked DJ Moore again. And I'm like, I can't do it second 2 weeks in a row. And this is kind of a homer pick because I already talked about
it. It is a homer pick. Well.
Adam Thielen projected 16 points. Low-hanging fruit or not, the Panthers are bad, okay? The Panthers are terrible. But Thielen is the only guy in this offense scoring in fantasy. His worst game since week 1 was a 15-point showing in week 4 where he had 7 catches on 8 targets. He may not find the end zone on Sunday, but proven to be a PPR monster. The Dolphins ranked 23rd against wide receivers in fantasy, giving up some points to receivers. Playing with confidence, Adam Thielen is still a pretty high projection. Bill, fact or crap, Thielen exceeds 16 points.
Low hanging fruit, Ryan. You said that his worst week was at 15.2, but that only happened once. Other than that, he's well over 20 in the last three of the last 4 games. So they've figured out how to get Thielen the ball. So I think this one's fact. I think he is a good idea to start against Miami. Miami doesn't like to cover receivers. They don't have time for that. We're not trying to get hurt this early in the season. Look what happened to Buffalo, and we're just going to outscore everybody.
They will in a few weeks when they get your guy Jalen Ramsey back from injury.
That's like in November. It's going to be my birthday present.
I was going to say, we're already, second week in October. It's right there.
Yeah. Then we'll just be that. They'll be your shutdown corner. We'll take away your number one receiver and then deal with 40 points a week.
Tim Costello saying Cooper because Cooper Kupp came back last week.
Might be low hanging fruit as well.
Yeah. I'm
Ryan right doesn't like to do that. He likes to pick like the worst defense in football and go, here's the best receiver on the opposing team. And then that's what we do. Your cells are amazing. I can't wait. I'm so crazy. Like, the team that has the best rush defense in football, sell the opposing team's running back.
I mean, listen, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. But listen, there's some big names on here. Let's stick with the buys for one more second. Let's go to tight end. Dallas Goedert projected 10.2 points. It's hard to buy and sell tight ends. But the best fantasy day of the season last week, 25.7 fantasy point for Dallas Goedert. And now he gets the Jets, who are allowing the most points to opposing tight ends on the season.
There it is.
And
it,
28 targets in more than, 28 targets in every game that he's played, more than five targets a game. The volume's there. I think he has another big week against the Jets. Factor crap, Dallas Goedert exceeds 10.2 fantasy points.
Well, he exploded last week, right? Eight catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown.
Yep.
Stick with him. The Jets don't cover tight ends, so he's going to have another big week. They're terrible, too. Remember, the Jets aren't going to score much on offense because of that wonderful quarterback that Ryan was buying last week. Whew, he's so good.
I told you. The only positions I was wrong at last week were quarterbacks. You should mention the stat that you dropped last week because it turned out to come to fruition this
incredible
week.
Yeah, so I mean, Zach Wilson has never thrown for 200 yards in consecutive games. Well, he's done it two times in his entire career. Three years he's played in the NFL, he's only thrown for 200 yards in consecutive games twice. He missed it by 1 yard.
He threw for 199 yards.
I was like, this. I looked at his stats, I was like, look at that Swami over here, how you doing?
Bill did his research and That's it right. Paid off. Matt Buck coming and saying he's starting Kittle every week minus his bye week.
He did this last season. Kittle did this last season. He had a slow start and then he went off and he's doing it again. Nobody expected three touchdowns now. That was absolutely insane. I was like, please, I'm watching the game. I was playing Costello last week in fantasy in football and he had two players left. I was killing him. He has two players left. And as soon as they throw a touchdown, I think I was online with you, Ryan, and I'm going, please don't be Kittle. Please don't be Kittle. And then it was. And I'm like, please don't be Kittle. Please don't be. And then it was. And then it was again. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, this game is being close, and it shouldn't have been.
My brother-in-law, Zach, was playing against Kittle. He lost by 0.4 points thanks to George Kittle's three touchdowns.
Oh, we have to talk. Oh, is that was Zach. That's right. That's right. Najee won the game. It was 0.4.
It was Najee by nature. I'm not sure who Najee by nature is.
Isn't that Najee?
No.
Oh, okay. So
I have to look it up. You mentioned last week when I was off the air that we never talk about our fantasy league that we do for the podcast.
Yes, we don't.
And
Derek, that was Pauly.
Oh, so Volley Pauly won.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Volley Pauly, on that by comeback win.
0.04.
Thanks to George Kittle. Yeah, if you want to talk about it just real quick, if you look at the standings in that fantasy league, and of course my phone is going to act like a moron here. I believe are you first in your division?
I am first in my division.
At 3-2, is that correct?
Yes, I am 3-2.
I am second in my division at 3-2. The 4-0 team that you talked about on the show, my buddy Sean, finally lost the game last week.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to make him a trade offer. I don't know if I'm going to yet, but there's only like a couple teams that are 1-4. Everybody's got like a
it's tight,
close. Yeah, it's tight across the board. Tight like a tiger.
My entire division is within a game, 3-2 and 2-3.
Yeah. So a little separation. We're gonna we'll make some time to talk more about that league here on the show next week. For right now, let's get into bully sells because Bill is super excited to talk about my sales, because you talk about some hanging fruit here.
So bad. I was like, is he really doing this? Just like pick the worst defense? Yeah.
Well, so. This is probably the lowest hanging fruit that I picked on the show. Deshaun Watson projected 18.4 points. I have notes written down for him. I'm not going to read them. If you have Deshaun Watson, you're not starting this week. It's not guaranteed it's not guaranteed that he even plays.
Yeah.
And he plays a tough defense against quarterbacks. Don't start Deshaun Watson. Let's just go ahead and go with that. Let's go over to running back here. Brian Robinson, Washington Commanders running back, projected 10.7 points. That's a pretty low projection, Bill.
I know that.
But he's hit this current projection 3 out of 5 games this season.
Yes. But what defense is he playing, Ryan?
Yeah, he's playing the Falcons, allowing the fewest points to running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And here, my reasoning behind it is Brian Robinson is only meeting those projections when he finds the end zone. He's a touchdown-dependent running back. If you've got This is more so like a selling, like going forward. Brian Robinson's not proven to be in your starting lineup. You're not starting him going forward. That was sort of my reason behind sell him this week, sell him going forward. Let him sit on your bench. That's fine. Bill, I'm guessing you're going to fact on this one too.
Yeah, it's a fact. I agree.
So far,
we are playing a tough D. Agreements. I know. He's playing a tough D.
Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. Wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, Marquise Brown. Pretty high projection here, 14.6 points. He's been on fire since week two, Bill. He scored three touchdowns in his past four games, but he gets a Rams team allowing the sixth fewest points to wide receivers. And coming off a loss to the Eagles or the Rams, I think the Rams are going to dominate this game and render Hollywood Brown ineffective. 14.6 is a lot. The Rams defense is better than people give him credit for. I want to say they held how many points did they hold the Eagles to last week? It wasn't a very high scoring game for the Eagles. So I don't like Marquise Brown in this game. Even though he's been setting the world on fire, finding the end zone. Bill, what say you? Factor crap, Marquise Brown, 14.6 points.
He doesn't just set the world on fire, Ryan. This guy's a target machine right now. Yep. He has had 10 targets in three of his last four games. That's a lot. I want to say that I want to call this crap, Ryan. I really do. And I was originally intending to until I was just reading about him. He's questionable.
Yeah.
His status is up in the air. They won't know until he see if he practices tomorrow and Friday. So I'm going to have to go with fact on this one just because at this point, if you were picking a team on a Wednesday, I don't know if this guy plays. So this is a fact as well. But I want to say crap on this. I would normally have crapped on this if he was not on the injury report. I think
this is
the Adam Thielen effect.
I sold him before I knew he was on the injury report.
Well, so. I'm just telling you that's not fair. Again, I can't. I mean, what can I say? If he doesn't play, I'm hosed. I'm not giving it away.
Well, is 8.9 points a low?
Together.
How about 8.9 points? Is that a pretty low projection that the average player should be able to get over if they're a starting
tight end? I think so, yes. Yeah.
Well, Dalton Schultz has projected 8.9 points this week.
Not for a tight end. Come on.
He's had I'm selling him this week, two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks and a big day against the Falcons. But he gets the Saints this week.
How good is their defense, Ryan?
They're allowing the fewest points to tight ends.
That might be why.
He's only had two games in double digits this year. Both were in the last 2 weeks where he found the end zone. Don't expect him to score this week. Don't like his chances this week. I'm guessing you're going to fact on Dalton Schultz this week as well.
I am not. I'm actually going to call crap on this one. He had 10 targets last week, and you've got a quarterback that's learning. And let's talk about the fact that we thought, and at the beginning of the season, Ryan thought Dalton Schultz was a sleeper pick for tight ends.
I did.
Didn't start to happen until last week, and look out. This might be where Dalton Schultz starts to break out because C.J. Stroud has figured out how to throw him the ball. 10 whole targets last week for this tight end. That's a lot. And I think he goes over an 8.9. All he needs is like four catches, and it's ball game. So, no. This one's crap. And this is the only one we're going to differ on this week because you picked a guy for yourself or a wide receiver that was injured.
Listen, I also picked Hayden Hurst to be a sleeper this season, too. And he is.
Oh, you were wrong about that one.
I was way wrong.
We're waiting. Yeah, I mean, his 90 catches are going to have to start piling up. Maybe it starts this week in Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and take the L on that one. It didn't work out for me, but
maybe one of these weeks he'll get like 400 yards receiving, the close to that 1,000 you were predicting for him.
Let's go back to the comments here because we had some questions about starting and sitting. Let's go back and find them here. The first one came from Aaron Thompson. If I can find it here. It might not still be available to me. All right, here we go. Aaron Thompson wants to know, start
three. I agree. PPR. I agree.
Kenneth Walker, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Mostert, and Breece Hall. Bill, I think I'm starting Swift, I'm starting Mostert, and I'm starting Mixon. Well,
Breece Hall's been fantastic recently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm starting, and they finally said they're taking the brakes off. I'm starting Swift, Mostert, and Hall.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right, we had one more. We're looking, Matt Buck wants to know Seattle's Tyler Lockett or Philadelphia's DeVonta Smith. Listen, Lockett's the number two at this point in Seattle. That was one of my sells
of the season, beginning of the season. Stay away from Lockett.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't been the guy that I was hoping he would be. But then again, you've got too many mouths to feed in Philadelphia.
That's
and we both bought in on Dallas Goedert this week. I think that means less opportunities for DeVonta Smith. But if you're picking one of the two, I'm picking Smith, right?
I mean, He's a better receiver, I think, at this point in his career. I think Lockett was a beast early. I don't know. I'm looking at Devontae Smith's stats. He had one catch last week. So that scares me. But he had the targets. He had five targets. I mean, he's had one decent game this season. Let me look at Lockett really quick just to make sure I'm not speaking. I don't know, Ryan. That's a toss-up. Who are we playing this week? Well, being that the – let's see. I'm going to go Devontae Smith. They're playing the Jets. The Jets stink. AJ Brown's going to get sauce. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think Devontae Smith.
Well, we've still got to get through podcast pickups, so we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Matt Buck, former guest of the show, will be here to pick games with us. Will he be able to ride the momentum left by Aaron Thompson over the last 3 weeks?
Except for last week.
Except for last week. We'll get into that when we come back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina, is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, everybody. With the
caterpillars making all kinds of noise.
I've got a live studio audience this week. Listen, without further ado, let's get this comment off the screen here for anybody watching the show. If I can find the comment to take it off, that's fun. Without further ado, we're going to bring on former guest of the show, Matt Buck, and we're going to pick some games here for Podcast Pick'ems Week 7. Matt Buck, Matt, how's it going, bud?
Oh, he's muted.
Matt, we're not hearing Matt's mic. Matt, we'll let you try to work that out while we go through it.
There he is. It's harder than it looks. See, it's hard, man.
There's a button on here. My bad.
Yeah. It's all good, man. What's going on, bud? We're rocking the Seahawks hat. What's going on, bud?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Doing good.
I'm good with that.
Just chilling, watching some college football.
Yeah, Matt's got some construction going on at his house because you can't hide money, as I said to him earlier before the show started, doing some additions to the house. So I'm sure he's having a good time. Let's look at podcast pick'ems going into week 7 on the season. Banker Bill still has me by a game at 20-10, where I am 19-11. We both went 4-1. However, on Aaron's third week last week, he went 3-2. Takes Aaron's record on the season to 11-4. But guest pickers, thanks to Big Tex being the only one to go undefeated at 5-0, the guest pickers are 19-6 on the season. So I think I think Matt's hoping to come in and have a better week.
Pressure.
I am.
Yeah, no pressure, Matt.
Pressure. Lots of it.
All right, let's start off here in the college ranks. The Washington Huskies hosting the Oregon Ducks, number 7, hosting number 8 in the country. Washington is a 3-point favorite. My opinion, this is the game of the week in college football, and we've got another really exciting game to talk about here in a second. Matt, I'm going to start with you here. Who do you have? Washington minus 3 hosting Oregon. Who you got here?
Washington at home. They're going to down Oregon.
That's not fair with him wearing a Seahawks hat, Ryan. What is that about? That's a homer pick right there.
Well, it's funny because he's not from Washington. He's from Charleston.
Nope, from Charleston.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Bill, who you got here? Washington, Oregon.
I'm going to concur. I think Washington wins this game. I love Michael Penix Jr. That's my thing. I'm a little bit nervous about the Oregon defense because, boy, did they hurt Colorado. And we've seen Colorado play a little bit better since then. But I think at home, that place is going to be rocking. And on the lake there, Lake Union, Lake Washington, it's going to be great. Right there on the cut. You ever been there, Matt? It's awesome, man. It's cool
place. I've been there, but I've never been to the stadium. But okay. I hear it's loud.
It's awesome. It's loud. Cool place.
Listen, I'm gonna pull a Lee Corso not so fast on you guys. I think Oregon's defense is the difference in this game.
Wow,
I think Oregon might be the best team in the Pac-12, making them one of the best 4 teams in college football. I like Oregon to get the road upset in this game. Next up on the card out of the college ranks, number 10 Southern Cal at number 21 Notre Dame. Volley Polly was asking about this game earlier in the show. We talked a lot about Notre Dame losing to Louisville last week. Southern Cal taking three overtimes to Arizona. I'm going to start us off here since I accused of being always the last one to pick. I am going to take Notre Dame minus 2.5. I think that the they might have been overlooking Louisville and got caught off guard by the Cardinals last week. I think they're a better team. They took Ohio State to the wire. And I think Southern Cal might be exhausted at this point after allowing Colorado to keep up with them, allowing Arizona to keep up with them, even though Bill made a good point earlier in the show that Arizona might not be as bad as their record shows. But I like Notre Dame in this game to knock off Southern Cal. On top of the fact they get him at home, let's go next to Bill. Bill, he got in this game. Notre Dame minus 2.5, hosting Southern Cal.
I'll take the Irish. Irish in the points. I think being at home is a huge, huge advantage for the Irish in this game. And I still don't believe in that USC defense. Notre Dame's going to be able to score. Sam Hartman has a good game. Irish win this game.
Matt, he got Notre Dame, Southern Cal.
Notre Dame, hate Southern Cal.
That's right. Because
Pac-12.
Listen, University of South Carolina was a college before Southern Cal was a state, or before California was a state. The real USC resides in Columbia, South Carolina. I don't care. I don't care how good Marshawn Lloyd has looked for the Trojans this year. He can kick rocks. The only USC is the one rocking the garnet and black. I just wanted to throw that out there. Real quick, this isn't on the list, and I sort of put it out there for both of you guys. A bonus game because we're done talking college football. I mentioned on the title of the show, this is rivalry between Bankerville and myself. South Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite at home over Bill's Florida Gators. I think we know where we're all going with this. Matt, I'm going to let you start. He got South Carolina 2.5. Against Florida.
South Carolina.
You know that's who I'm taking. Bill?
All day.
You think your Gators are actually going to come into Columbia and win this game on Saturday?
Oh, man, you know that's not going to happen. Come on. This is awful. Florida's not that good. That's not going to happen.
Oh,
I'm taking the South Cox on this one as well.
It's going to be a tough game, I think, for South Carolina. I don't know.
Florida does not play very good defense.
They scare me. Carolina scares me.
Spencer Rattler has had a pretty good season so far. They don't play defense, but Florida doesn't play great offense. And I think being in South Carolina, it's going to be to their advantage. I'm going to be louder than most of the people in South Carolina because they're not used to cheering anyway. But
listen to this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We got some comments in. College game day at Husky Stadium for the Oregon-Washington matchup.
Of course.
Really good.
It should be. That's going to be fun. Yeah.
For Andy Hunter.
Good calling. I like it.
And then I don't think Tim Costello is saying chomp.
Gross. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
That's South Carolina pick. All right, let's go to the NFL here because we were past time, but we've had some really fun conversation here. First game of the weekend after the Thursday night game, which is going to be a disaster for the Denver Broncos.
This one's tough. This was tough.
London. Another London kickoff.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
9:30 a.m. Ravens minus 4.5. Versus the Tennessee Titans in London. Matt, I'm going to go back to you and let you start us off here. It's a 9:30 kickoff game. We talked about London games early in the show when Buffalo was knocked off by Jacksonville. Who wins this game, Ravens or Titans?
Ravens over.
Ravens. Matt takes the Ravens. Bill, who you got here?
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well on this one. I love Ryan Tannehill. I really do. But, yeah. They're not a great team. It's I don't know. Didn't the Ravens scare the crap out of us this week? I mean, come on.
They did. They lost to
Pittsburgh. Anybody expect that? I mean, come on. Pittsburgh's they've had some really bad games.
I'm right there with you, man. I like the Ravens to cover the spread. Nothing Tennessee has done tells me that they're ready
other
to
than
compete.
They're up and down, just like the Ravens are. But I feel like they have the quarterback play is better for Baltimore right now. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill at this point in his career. So, yeah, I think the Ravens are better.
So far,
if they're not, by the way, Ryan, if they are not, if the Titans somehow win this game, put a fork in the Ravens. We're not even going to talk about them, you know, winning that. I mean, they might win the division, but they're going to be nothing in the playoffs. They're done.
I'm right there with you. Listen, yeah. I'm just surprised that there's only been one different pick this week, and that was the Oregon-Washington game. Let's go to the next game on the list here. We're going to talk about Bills Dolphins again. I feel like point spreads keep going higher and higher in the NFL every week.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers, we both deemed the worst team in the NFL, traveling to Miami after a big loss on the road against Detroit last week. The Dolphins are a 13.5 point favorite. Bill, do your Dolphins cover this 13.5 points against the Panthers?
In the first half or the second half?
That's funny. That's actually really good.
Yeah, I'll take Dolphins on this one.
Matt, what say you? Dolphins, 13.5 is a lot, man. You think Carolina covers this?
Yeah, no.
Let's go.
Got you.
gave me the oop. Yeah, we're all in consensus here. The Panthers are bad and the Dolphins are good. You might see Jeff Wilson in this game, even if Jeff Wilson's not ready to play. They might put him out on a wheelchair, and that might be the slowest, the only way they can get a slow running back on that field for.
I think the point is the Dolphins, when they play their games, it doesn't matter who the running back is. I think every player on the team has broken a 45 yarder or longer at this point.
Yep.
So, I mean, I know that Achane is a problem, but they've got other guys that can run the ball.
Aaron says poor Panthers are going to lose by 50.
I don't know if it's going to be that bad. I thought the Giants were going to get squashed pretty bad, and they actually the pick six. I mean, the Dolphins turned the ball over three times in that game and didn't get one turnover. I mean, that's how bad they beat the Giants. They won by 15 and turned the ball over three times.
Aaron wants to throw it out there too that he wishes that he wants to have facial hair like Matt Buck when he grows up. All right, final game on the docket here: the Dallas Cowboys at the LA Chargers on Monday Night Football. There are questions about whether or not Justin Herbert is going to play in this game with a messed up finger. The Cowboys, as a result, are a 2-point favorite in this game. I'll start us off here. Who do I have here? I'm taking the Cowboys, man. Yeah, I know that the Chargers are expecting to get Austin Eckler back this week, but if you get Austin Eckler back and you don't get Justin Herbert back,
who's the backup quarterback there?
That's a good question. I couldn't tell you.
He should be our bye for the week. Let's go.
He should be our bye for this week. Matt, Cowboys a 2-point road favorite. Who are you taking? Cowboys, Chargers.
Cowboys. Chargers. Cowboys. This might be the only game to pick, but Cowboys.
All right. Matt takes the Cowboys. Bill, Cowboys -2 at the Chargers.
This breaking news, Ryan. Easton Stick is the backup quarterback. I don't even know who that is. I looked at it, I was like, what? He sounds like he's a baseball bat.
No, you know what he is?
Easton Stick.
It sounds like one of those automated names put up by Madden for draft classes to go in your franchise.
That's not good.
Bill, he's taking Cowboys at the Chargers Monday Night Football.
This is in Los Angeles of Dallas, right? Is that because no matter who plays in Los Angeles against the Chargers, they're the home team regardless if they're playing in Los Angeles? That's kind of how that works. So I guess we'll have to go Cowboys because Dak Prescott's got to be on his revenge tour.
Zero separation from us this week. Zero.
What are you gonna do?
Separation.
You pick these Matt, terrible games.
I appreciate you sticking around as long as you did. You sat backstage for the whole show. To come and make your picks. Anybody you want to give a shout out to before we let you go for the evening?
Aaron in the background of your house. My brothers, Jason and Casey. That's it.
It's awesome.
Not even going to give a shout out to your wife and baby. What a scumbag. I'm totally kidding.
Are they watching the show, Matt? They should be.
They're sleeping.
Matt, this has been awesome, man. We're going to have you back on the show. Appreciate you making it work tonight. And we'll see you next time, bud. Thank you.
All right. Good seeing y'all.
See you, Matt.
Nice meeting you. Take care.
All right. Matt Buck, everybody, for our podcast pick'ems this week. And now my favorite part of the show, Homer's Corner, where we get to talk about whatever the hell we want to. And we'll start off with Bill's Homer's Corner segment, where he wants to talk about something we've already talked a good bit about on the show this week, Miami Dolphins offense.
That's right.
Take it away.
That's right. I just want to talk about the record that was set in the NFL this week. Did anybody, if you're living under a rock, if you're not a football fan, I'm here to update you. But the Miami Dolphins set the record through the first five games of the season, beating the greatest show on turf. First five games of the season, they have gained 2,568 yards. Yes, kids, that is over 500 yards per game. That's insane in the NFL. And the Miami Dolphins are doing this. I can't believe it's my team. I would probably talk about this record if it was the Bills breaking this record, but they're not that good. So they couldn't do it. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, the point is, Miami Dolphins, absolutely, if you're not watching this team play, they, and it's not even that they're doing it, they're making it look easy. Devin Achane is averaging over 13 yards per carry. Per carry. That's stupid. That makes no sense. That doesn't, anyway, that's Homer's Corner. The Miami Dolphins offense is absolutely disgusting. And if you're not watching, you should be, because it's really fun. Really fun to watch, especially if you're a Dolphins fan.
I don't know if Bill's ready for my Homer's Corner this week.
Is it about the Gamecocks?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. My Homer's Corner segment has to do with the fact that the Carolina Gamecocks are going to avenge their embarrassing loss last season against Florida that essentially turned our season around. We lost to Florida bad. We put no offense on the field, and the next week we beat the crap out of Tennessee and then beat Clemson in the season before we had a really rough loss in the bowl game to Notre Dame when we were missing half of our team. I believe South Carolina is 13-3 coming off of bye weeks, including 2-0 under Shane Beamer. I think Beamer's going to have this team ready. I don't think we're going to see our stud receiver Juice Wells in this game. He's still not ready to come back, but Xavier Leggett on a week's rest, the fastest receiver in college football at 6'3". I think he's going to have a big game. I think the crowd, even at 3:30 kickoff in Columbia, is going to be ruckus. I hate the fact that the, as Bill changes his background, I hate the fact that it is the same weekend as the South Carolina State Fair that happens once a year in Columbia that happens to coincide with a home game. But I am excited that not only Bill, but Bill's dad will be there to watch South Carolina beat his Gators in person. And I can't wait to come up with a picture similar to this to show on my screen next weekend. Bill, we're in the second week in October, and I don't want to ask you if you don't have anything available for it, but anything going on with In the Zone Racing? You guys any closer to starting your season?
Nothing. I have one thing I do want to say, though. I want to say thank you to my sister. I'm actually going to take my – let me take this down really quick. It's going to be really quick. I'll try to anyway. My sister gave me my birthday present early this year, Ryan. And check this out. I've got it here.
Let's see it.
It is a Miami Dolphins hat, and it says, "To Bill, happy birthday," signed by Mark Super Duper.
Mark Super Duper. Okay. Mark
Duper from the 80s Dolphins. I mean, it's a throwback. So the 80s Dolphins, Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, the Marx Brothers. Mark Duper was one half. She has a friend that works at a car dealership. He bought a car from him, and when he came back to pick the car up, my sister had bought the hat, sent the hat down there, and got it signed by Mark Duper.
Like, that's freaking incredible.
One of my freaking heroes as a kid, one of Dan Marino's best receivers. I was super excited. She gave it to me last Sunday during the game, so I was pretty happy. So thanks to my sister. Super cool. I'm going to get in it with like a case. I literally don't have anything signed by anybody ever, so that's like my first ever. And I looked it up. I saw like him signing other stuff because I was like, that's the weirdest signature ever. That's exactly how he signs it. Super Duper.
That's incredible.
His middle name. He changed his middle name to Super. So yeah, very cool.
Shout out to Tara. I guess it's in the chat. I guess I need to go ahead and shout out my buddy Aaron that you saw the stash earlier on the screen. He is here until Saturday when we go to the Carolina game. We'll be leaving at the same time I am. We're going to see Jelly Roll in concert tomorrow night, and then we're going to go golfing Friday. So, going to make a weekend about it. Might go to Home Depot. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be enough time. Nice fun Saturday we got going. You don't.
What's at Home Depot?
Oh my God. You don't know the. Oh my gosh. I can't even think of the old school. It was like when they're at the college party. Will Ferrell's like,
never mind.
Yeah, we got a pretty Speaker fun City? Saturday.
Speaker City. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to explain it, but you know, sometimes
those, whatever.
The Florida fans just, you know, we got
stuff to do on Saturdays, like watch good football teams. We're not going to Home Depot.
Well, nevertheless,
South Carolina fans do that.
Andy, come down. We'll go. Listen, I've been trying to get this guy to go golfing for probably the close to a year.
We're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to go. Nevertheless, folks, we have gone super over as we always do for these live shows. It's been a fun time.
That's bad.
Thanks, everybody, for interacting the show. A lot of shout-outs we got to give. Andy Hunter, Tim Costello, Amanda Parker was in the live stream. Nico Stavranakis, my buddy Nick. Matt Buck for coming in and doing picks with us. Your Uncle Gary Patton. Zach, I'm going to butcher this last name, Onan. Everybody that came in the chat that participated, including my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson. Matt Buck, who's been getting picks with us.
The stash.
There's so many I'm going to miss. Glenjamin came in the chat. Volley Polly was here. What a great show. It's to have everybody's interaction. We should have another wrestling show with DJ Steven and I coming up this coming week. He has been slammed with work, as have I. So we're going to have another wrestling show. Make sure you go and check out the Cat Cave over on the Keep Pounding Podcast Network or the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube channel that goes out every week. We'll have another one of those next week as well. After the Panthers fall to 0-7 on the season. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy the dumps that we take on Carolina next week. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye. Thanks, everybody, for being part of this tonight. And we'll see you next time right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.